Blog Talk Radio.
At 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time, and 8 p.m. UK Time. And to all our listeners from around the world, the number to ring the show is 347-539-5367. And from the UK, 001-347-539-5367. And the chat room is open. Well, we've had some lovely weather for a change. It's supposed to be, well, we're still in early May. The sun has been shining for at least nearly 2 weeks. But it looks like the weather's going to get cold again. I know it's always lovely across the water in the States, but over here, it can be sunny one day. One day in the Lake District last week, you had snow last week, and this week they had 22 degrees in a matter of 1 week, difference like. Well, my special guest today is a friend of mine who, the last time she was on my show was about 2 years ago, and don't time fly as well? I just couldn't believe how long ago it is, but I'm so glad that I've been able to get her back on the show again. Well, my special guest today is Erin Muir. Erin is a life coach, psychic, intuitive, healer, poet, modern mystic, screenwriter, playwright, singer, actress, comedian, songwriter, cabaret performer. Well, today we're going to talk about, well, it's going to be something what I haven't done for a long, long time. Radical self-love, and what does it mean? Well, all will be revealed shortly. Can we please welcome Erin to the show? Hello, Erin.
Hello, Bob. I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm grinning ear to ear. I don't know if you can hear it over the radio, but I have the biggest smile on my face.
Oh, beautiful. Well, you know, it's been so long. I just can't believe how long it's been. But,
I know.
I know you wanted to talk about, I'll tell you, from the start, some of the listeners who don't know about you in the UK, can you just give us a brief outline about yourself?
Yes. Well, we'll see how brief I can keep it, but I live in Los Angeles. I know, right? Yeah, my family has a saying, Erin can talk a waterfall, so I'll try to keep it a small waterfall, not a big waterfall. You know, I live in Los Angeles. I'm originally from a place called Stock Rapids, Minnesota, where I was born on the banks of the Mississippi River, and I have spent my life doing manifold things. I was born psychic, and I was born a singer, and I was born a storyteller. So I do all three of those things. And I've traveled to India and Europe, and I've studied with shamans and mystics. And what I'm doing now with my life is I'm over at One to Listen. Some of your listeners might be familiar with the onetolisten.com. That's where I do my psychic work, a lot of my energy healing work, my life coaching, relationship coaching work. And then I also sing and write and perform various things. So, for example, I just sang, you won't believe this, I actually had one of the most fun gigs. I got hired to sing, you know, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga did an album. And for a private party, they hired me and a friend of mine to come sing that whole album. And I did costume changes and everything. So I like to have fun with everything I do. I like to be of service to people with everything I do. And ultimately, yeah, it's all channeling. And it's all channeling love and healing and opportunity. And that's, I'm so blessed to live the life I have.
Oh, that's so nice as well. But you're always doing your radio show, and you're always there to help people as well in everyday life situations.
Yeah, I feel very lucky that, you know, I mean, I, speaking of everyday life, you know, I've had a lot of different life experiences. So while I've had a lot of very fun and exciting life experiences, you know, I also grew up working class, and my family graduated into the middle class when I was young, and so to speak. And I've worked with people of all, I know I am friends with and have worked with people of all ages, all incomes, all races, genders, orientations, every walk of life. And I feel very grateful because I feel like I can be of service to somebody who is, you know, whether you're a, I don't know, 32-year-old single mom living in a major city just trying to make ends meet and find the love of your life, or whether you are somebody who is very sick, or whether you are somebody who's very young and just wants to get started, whatever it is, I feel I can be here for you.
Yes, and we're on about talking about radical self-love. Can you tell us a little bit about it, and what does it mean?
Yes.
What does it mean to me or to you?
Well, what does it, I mean, it can mean something different to everyone, but here's how I describe it. Maybe you can tell me what you think, Bob. Because I wanted to talk about radical self-love as the pathway, and I mean the, like with a capital T, pathway, because I have had so many people get caught up in fear and overwork and out of balance, and we live in a time, and at least in the Western world for the most part, where our culture is very skewed, and it's people work, and still aren't getting anywhere. We're like hamsters on the treadmill. But I'm here actually to advocate something very different, that what will actually bring you success and prosperity and joy may or may not involve work, but most surely involves beginning with the love first, beginning with the self-love first, and allowing through that radical self-love, and I'll get to what that is in a moment, through that self-love, you are more open to the divine and the divine's path for you, You are more open to the collective consciousness, the oneness, and therefore, think about it, you're just one person, and you've been listening to one group of ideas, but we have billions of people and billions upon billions of species, plants, animals, stars, guides, angels. And by listening to our own, by giving ourselves that radical self-love, and then by engaging in the path that love would have us follow, we actually have access to all of the universe of ideas and all of the universe of possibility. And finally, you also begin to cut out the things that aren't working for you. And we'll get more into that. But to me, radical self-love, of course, a lot of us are struggling with, well, I can love every part of myself, but that extra 20 pounds or whatever it might be, extra weight or my credit card debt or that I didn't succeed at this relationship. And I actually want to advocate to you, if you were, I want you to choose the person you love the most in all the world. So for me, that might be my little sister. And I mean as unconditional as possible. You know, my puppy dog, right? The way my dog loves me, there's an even better one. What if every time you struggled or had stress or had worries, you turned back toward yourself and you said, I love you unconditionally. And no matter what, love will solve the problems. So right now, what is the most loving thought I can think? What is the most loving thing I can do, truly loving thing I could do? Like if I had a child that I loved unconditionally, what would, and they were in my position, what would I have them do? What would actually the most loving angels in the world have me do now? And if I have a difficult decision to make, if I were God or the universal source of love, whatever word you want, archangels, whoever you think is the most loving creature, person, entity, idea, what would that love have you do, be, say, treat yourself, think about yourself? What would that look like? When you begin to really practice that level of love and commitment to loving yourself, and eventually it will become a commitment to loving others and truly loving others, i.e. not enabling, but being willing to express your true love through your honesty. And sometimes you will be letting go of toxic relationships or situations, but it will change your life. And it's a wonderful practice, and it opens up so much of the world to you.
Yes, that's true as well. I talk to a lot of, women on Facebook, and a lot of them, they just can't love themselves. They always think down upon themselves. They always think, oh, I'm not better than anyone else. And I think they've got to help to love themselves first before they can move on. And once they help to love themselves, I don't know why. I don't know if I've done it. I probably will have done, but I don't realise I'm doing it. When I'm on my own, I think, why am I sat on my own? Why is it that I haven't got any friends where I could go out sometimes? It's just because I'm not saying I don't socialise. I do like to go out and have a meal now and then. But sometimes I feel as though I could do it doing more for myself, but I don't. I always think, oh, I don't know, I can't be bothered. And I also do. I like to get myself out there more, get dressed up and go out, not to impress, but to love yourself a bit more. How about that?
I love that. Right, I was just thinking as you were saying that, I'm like, well, you get dressed up because you are adorning the self. You know, if you think about, oh, Venus, the goddess of Venus, what would she have us do? And, you know, even if it's this level of oughts and shoulds, you know, sometimes we have to cut ourselves some slack and yes, take responsibility for ourselves and say, well, you know, I maybe should go out. What would love have me do? Do I really, really want to go out right now and meet some people? Yes, I do. Or I actually really need a night off. You know, you can ask from the perspective of love, can actually be guided. And then sometimes the answer is one where you have to take a risk, right? Where you say, well, I'm home alone. I'm a little bit, maybe not lonely, but lonesome at the moment. And there is a lovely cafe around the corner where there's surely people. At least I can be out and about. Just as my sister used to say, sometimes you have to get out just to shake the energy up. So what would love actually have me do? Love would have me, you know, I think, because I, myself, I like to get dressed up. I mean, I'm wearing one of my favorite lace sweaters over a blue dress right now. There's no reason for it other than I love it.
Beautiful.
And
yes.
And
it's because you like to dress up. You like to, not to impress all the time, but you like to feel better in yourself when you get up in the morning, get showered, get ready and think, right, I'm going to put that on today, because you feel good in it and you might feel happy in yourself. And I think a lot of people ought to look at that situation sometimes in life and think, yes, I do feel good today. And I think, right, I'll go into town now.
Right.
Go and get shopping and do myself a lot of good.
Right. And you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, radical self-love, I'm not asking for perfectionism here. I'm asking, like, is a lot of times, let's say, how do you know you're not in self-love? Well, it might sneak up on you. Like, I live in Los Angeles, a city with a lot of traffic, and I'll be driving around, and I'll start being like, you bleep, diddy, bleep, bleep, bleep. Not loud, but I'll start swearing at the other people, other drivers, and then I'll be like, wait, why am I so angry? I have plenty of time to get where I'm going. I know I've lived in Los Angeles 10 years. I know what this city is like. What's really going on? And the first thing I usually do is I usually do a healing. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, to all the other drivers. And then I bless them. And then I bless myself. And then I say, am I stressed out? Am I angry? What would love have me do right now? And sometimes the answer is, yeah, you're a little stressed out. Why don't we turn on the radio and just sing at the top of our lungs for fun? Sometimes the answer is, you're bored because you've been driving around in traffic for 40 minutes and you have another 20 minutes to go. So let's listen to a fun podcast, you know, or a download of one of our friends' radio shows, because I listen to a lot of the radio shows I download after the fact, you know, or listen in the archives. And so I want to address, though, before we go on, like when you were mentioning some of your friends, specifically women friends that feel like they can't love themselves, you know, if you took just one small step, even if you believe you're so unlovable, for whatever reason you believe that or you've practiced it, a lot of times it is merely the fact that we have practiced that for 30, 40, 50, however many years, you know. But that doesn't make it true. If you will recall, for hundreds, thousands of years, people believed the earth was flat and that if you sailed to the end of the earth, you would fall off the end of the earth and be eaten by dragons. And people truly believed that. And then along came, you know, Galileo and other scientists from all around the world, different people observing the earth and the world. And they began to say, well, you know, actually, the world's probably not flat. No. And people still wouldn't believe that merely because they had believed that the world was flat for so long. Well, today we think that's a ridiculous story, like, oh, those dumb people in the olden days. I ask you, where are you being dumb? And I don't mean that in a negative way, but where are you believing a story simply because you've said it to yourself for so long? What if you really were lovable? What if you really were beautiful just as you are? What if you really, really, really do actually deserve love just by being born, just by being yourself? What if that were possible?
It's funny you're saying that. There's many a time I'm in the shop. I'm on what they call a till, dealing with people, talking to people. And if I'm talking to a lady, one of the girls will come from behind and say, Bob's at it again. And they'll say, but we all love you, Bob. You know, so, and that makes me feel absolutely great when somebody says that to me. We all love you. We all love you in the shop. And everybody looks round and smiles. And I think it does a lot to me, that does. It gives me a boost.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what I do sometimes, by the way? Because Bob, you're incredibly lovable. You're just, the minute I see your emails or see you on Facebook or hear your voice, I am filled with such a deep love, and you're a gift to this universe. And I'm not trying to butter you up. I just feel you're just one of those people, you know. You're just one of those people who's probably, though, I imagine it's because you give so much love to the world. And so, you know, sometimes when I'm ornery or I'm being a negative Nelly, or because I have to practice what I preach, you know, or when I'm being like, oh, like right now we have a very contentious election period here in the U.S. and people are all wringing their hands and, you know, like, what is this world coming to and all that. I just think, you know what? Okay, rather than me focus on everything that's wrong with the world or myself, I am going to run some errands or just walk down the street, and I am going to offer love to people. And that sometimes looks like me smiling at, there's a lot of homeless people in my area, so sometimes it's me smiling at them, offering them change or a sandwich. Sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's me, I have to go to a shop, and I walk in the shop, and I go, my goal is to make three people smile, and not by trying too hard, but by being myself. I just set the intention, you know, that I want to make somebody smile. Now, people don't always smile. We don't know what they're going through. They might be very sick. Their mother might be in trouble. They might be going through a difficult life circumstance. But my intention is to offer that joy and the possibility of that joy. And you know who feels better by the end of the day? Within 5 minutes? Me. I feel amazing.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree with it. I just want to make a call. There's a 7125 number here.
Hello?
Hello.
Who's
speaking?
Hello, Bob. This is Amber.
Hello.
Hi,
hello,
Amber.
Hello.
I remember you, Amber.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. That's amazing that you remember me. That's really awesome. I'm really
well, it's coming back to me. Something about, please dive in, not to talk over you. But I'm like, oh, I remember your voice. And now the details are coming back. But, yes, it's so nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's
Erin, a question?
Yeah. I just firstly want to say thank you so much for sharing, you know, your stories and your inspiration about self-love, because I think all of us lack in that department and forget, especially women as mothers as well. We forget to, you know, love ourselves. We can love everyone else, but we forget about ourselves. So I just want to thank you for that, to, you know, remind us women and men out there as well.
Yeah, and, well, I believe that we've been indoctrinated into not loving ourselves, but I feel like a lot of folks have been indoctrinated via institutions or media. I mean, we can blame whomever we want, but there's a lot of ways that we've actually even been indoctrinated into self-hatred sometimes.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage to say, actually, no thank you.
It is. It's true. I think in the, like you said, in this day and age, things are so, the media is full of a, you know, cookie cutter way of being. And if you don't fit into that, then it's like there's something wrong with you. And I just hope that that turns around, you know. So,
you remind
children,
me of that song. Yeah. I was thinking of this song by Michael Jackson, The Man in the Mirror. You know, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking, right? I'm asking him to change his ways. But I'm like hearing you, and I'm like, it will change because we are changing. And it's because of this work you're doing, I'm doing, Bob is doing. It's because of the love, the way that we are loving ourselves and being willing to change, that will model for our children, who will just, you know, children are always so much faster and smarter than the generations before. They will just blast off with it.
Yes. Thank goodness for that.
It's true.
Hopeful.
But times will change for everybody. We just, once we learn to love ourselves, we can move on.
Yes. That's so true. Oh, I guess I also wanted to ask a question. I don't know if you're taking, you know, if you're doing little readings. I don't want to assume or anything.
You got it. ask away. It's my pleasure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, basically, I'm just kind of asking about my life, and I'm kind of in limbo. I'm at like crossroads right now, like personal, relationship wise, and even career wise. I'm just, you know, kind of soul searching, and I'm rebuilding with self love, and everything.
Yay!
Taking steps. Thank you.
Oh, yay. Love you.
Yeah, thank you. It's hard.
So are you asking about how to get out of the rut, or are you asking if you're on the right path? What are you asking?
Well, am I on the right path? You know, I'm kind of at crossroads. I'm just...
Amber,
crossroads.
Tell Erin what you want to do and ask her if it's the right decision.
That's a great idea. Well, I'm an artist. I think if you remember, I'm an artist and I do music as well, a vocalist. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to write a book, I think. So I have all these loves and I'm really, you know, not too sure, you know, which one to go first. I feel guided to write a book. And I also have had a major, I had a spinal cord injury where I was in a wheelchair for almost a year. And that was pretty, I almost died and it was a lot to handle.
Wow.
So I'm kind of getting back on track and trying to, you know, I'm walking, I'm better now, but I want to go follow my dreams. There's just so many things that I want to do. So I guess I just would like to know, you know, which path would be the most abundant path for me.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right. Like which path is going to make you income as well as help you fulfill dreams. And of course, if you have a feeling like if you can fulfill one and make money doing one of them, then the others can fall in line also. That's probably also how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Here's my take on all of this.
Okay.
When you're a Renaissance woman, as you are, and we live in a world of like branding and you must have your niche and you can't do everything until you're famous or something like that, you know, so what are you? You're an author and a singer and an artist and blah, blah, blah. And how do you make money? And do you make a living as an artist? You know how people are. For you, because you are healing and you are learning about not putting too much on your plate and not scattering your talents to the four winds by doing too much. That is really important. And there is time for everything. I promise you there is. And I know it's hard to say, pick singing and then just sing for 6 months and see what happens. Because meanwhile, what's going to happen to you is while you're picking singing and you're trying to sing, that book is going to nag at you every night. So my question to you is, and then meanwhile, you'll be like, and how am I supposed to make a living? My question to you is, do you feel comfortable designating Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays? I dedicate 1 hour, 2 hours a day to singing. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I dedicate 1 hour, 2 hours a day, whatever I've got, Saturdays too, if you want, to writing my book. One will take off more than the other first, but because I don't know which one right now, or, you know, if you have three things you want to do, so let's say you've got 3 hours every day to devote to your passion projects. So maybe Mondays and Wednesdays you do singing. Tuesdays and Thursdays you do your book. Fridays and Saturdays you do art. You write it down. You keep a schedule. You have a calendar. You keep the commitment. You... Even if on Wednesday, you know, you just keep the commitment Wednesdays from 3 till 6 while my daughter's at school or whatever, you know, whatever the timing is for you.
Yeah.
I do this. What will happen is you'll get a first draft of your book about the same time. And the writing, by the way, doesn't mean you have to know what the book is. It means you begin to free write on what you might want to write about. Then the outline will come from that writing. Then the sit-down writing will come. And then you'll be in about, you know, I'm looking at my wrist as if I'm wearing a watch. I'm not, but in about 6 months of that, you'll have a rough first draft. And meanwhile, you will have spent, that's Mondays and Wednesdays, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or however it works for you. When you keep the commitment, Tuesdays and Thursdays, you've been singing, and you've now written three songs, and you decide to go down to the local cafe and ask if you can just sing on a Friday night, you know, and that, that you might determine that actually you just want to keep singing a hobby and join a choir, or you might determine that you want to perform at cafes, but you'll have given yourself 6 hours a week, which doesn't sound like a lot, but let me tell you, it is, because it builds up over time. Of your things, the ones that are going to be abundant and successful will begin to appear. And the reason I can't tell you what's the most abundant, nor can any psychic, is because you have all three alive in you, and you need to explore for yourself and satisfy yourself. I do know that one or two or all of your endeavors will probably take off at the same time. Like two probably will begin to take off at the same time. And you may very well may find yourself, like, you know, incorporating music into your book. I don't know how, but that might just be the case. Mm-hmm. Like, you sell the book online and it comes with a free download. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much possible for you.
It's,
but you have to just
Wow. I just, well, I've had this idea even when I was in the hospital and I found out I almost died. I was, that first thing on my mind is I have to do this exhibition called The Journey to Love, which I mix music and arts.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to think, how do I, you know, encompass this into a book? I just want it to be so mixed media and so to draw people in to themselves so much and kind of just use everything I've got. So I really appreciate what you've just said. It helps me, you know, logically put things down and make it seem attainable, because I I bite off more than I can chew, and then I'm like overwhelmed and it doesn't seem achievable. So thank you. You've just put that so perfectly into order for me, and I feel like, okay, I can do this. Thank you.
Yay! You're welcome. And also, just remember, when you keep those commitments, it will build so fast for you. And don't worry about a timeline, okay? Like, it'll happen within a year, because you'll have kept the commitment every week. That's how it will happen.
That's perfect. You've answered everything. I feel
posted.
So happy.
Oh,
I,
God,
will
I'm so
do.
Glad.
I will do.
Yay.
Thank you. And you're an inspiration. You know, you've followed your passions, and you have so much talent, you know, as a singer, as a psychic. Just you just shine so brightly and touch so many people. And it makes, you know, me, I'm sure, as well as a lot of other people, just want to do the same in their own lives. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
You're welcome. And I want you to follow your passions. They have so much meaning for yourself and the world. And you know that.
Yeah.
But I'm also
saying it
for the other people listening at home who worry that they don't have meaning for the world. And you all do. You all do.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Yes, absolutely, Bob. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay. Well, you guys,
I think we should all
have
throw
a wonderful
confetti.
Time. I know.
Yay.
I feel like that, too.
Throw up in the air.
Exactly. Exactly.
And follow your dream. Your dream will come true.
Yes, that's the main thing. There's only one life.
Yes,
only
this
one
is it.
Life.
You've only got one life, and you will lead it, because you love yourself, and your dreams will come true.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Your
Thank
book
you very
will
much.
Be out, and you'll send Erin a book, and I'll have a book, and read all about it, and I'm sure it'll be a success.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It gives me a lot of hope. I have
good.
Given up a few times, so thank you. This is really meaningful to me. I'm going to keep it in my heart. Cherish it.
Good. Wonderful.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you.
Right, I'll put you on hold.
Okay. See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was so nice. That just gave us so much proof and confidence where to go in our life.
Good. You know, I know sometimes people have talents they want to express or dreams they want to follow. And then instantly that voice of fear comes in and says, but how will you make money? Or how will you find the time? Or, but who will care anyway? And I swear to you, if you allow, like a lot of times a lot of my clients who are artists will say, but I have this day job. And I'll say, excellent, excellent. Artists throughout the history of time have had to have day jobs, you know?
Yes.
And when you continue to follow your bliss, and believe in yourself and love yourself. You may or may not ever make like your living as an artist. You may not. That's not what's important. A lot of people actually who are very famous artists actually make their money through their investments or through other means rather than their actual art. We don't always know the story. What's important is that you honor your gifts and you honor your talents. And you pursue those with passion because that's your birthright. You know, jobs will come, income will come, things will happen, and you will have this beautiful through line of your passion. And for some people, that's cooking. For some people, that's dance. For some people, it's painting. For some people, it's psychic work. For some people, it's baseball, you know, or cricket. For some people, it's three of those things, you know, like, and some people, like I have a friend who loves baseball so much and played it and then wasn't really talented enough to play baseball after high school, but he got into coaching. And now he coaches like a kid's team in the summertime, and he spends a lot of his summers visiting all these different baseball parks. And he's been doing this now for 20 years. So what at first seemed like kind of a lark, he's now writing a blog about it, and then it might turn into a book. And this is a passion of his, right? It's amazing, all because he loved a sport. And I tell this story to say, you know, like it's not always about being the baseball player. It's sometimes about the other brilliant life that it gives you to be willing to engage in your passion.
That's true. But when you talk to other psychics around the world, they all have another job besides the psychic work. Because sometimes you can only give a message to one person. They're not going to come back again the next month or the next month. They might want one 3 months down the line. So, and if you've got a lot of people spread out like that, you're going to be struggling to earn a living, to mortgage your house or to pay your rent. So a lot of other people have got a second income coming somewhere. They've got to have to get another job until they come famous. And then when they're famous, you might tour around the world and then come back home, and then you might be back to churches again.
Right. I mean, the thing is there are so many professions where that's the case. I was actually just looking at a website the other day of this guy who leads travelers from the U.S. through Europe and leads them on trips. And he does it in the summer, and he's got a website and a book. And then during the school year, he's a college professor. Well, that's a guy who's got quite a full life. He's teaching college in the school years and following his passion during the summers, and he is so happy and joyful. And I also think about, you know, we can look throughout time at artists throughout time. You know, there are some artists that were just starving, struggling artists all their lives, but there were many artists, writers, painters who were also teachers. Hemingway was a journalist as well as a novelist and a screenwriter. Fitzgerald was a journalist as well as a novelist and a screenwriter, and he married into money. Michelangelo was a chef and an anatomist and an inventor and a painter and a sculptor. You know, we say he's a Renaissance man, like, oh, he was a genius in all these ways. But guess what? He might have been a chef not just because he was a genius, because the guy had to eat and make money, you know? Like, you have to.
When we talk about Nikola Tesla, you know, he had all these bright ideas and everything, what he wrote down, what, what was going to come in the future, that he died a penniless man.
Yeah, right. Van Gogh is another example of this.
You know,
so,
and but like you're saying, when you've got things like that, if you've got three, like Amber had, and she's thinking, how can I earn money best way quickly? But trouble is, you start one project, don't do another project, and jump to another thing. So I'm glad you said that, because I'd said that to her quite a while ago about focusing on one thing, and then the others will come later on.
Right. Well, the other thing about that is, you know, to speaking to when you have a passion and you have to have a day job of some kind. You know, the day job, if you look at it not as something that you hate or have to do or drudgery, and of course there are times where you might have to switch your day job. If you're working in a toxic environment, you might need to start looking for a new job. But if you look at it like it is actually of service to your passion, because it's funding your passion, right? It's of service to your life. It's funding your life. You can begin to be grateful for it. And then there's other things. Like, for example, if you want to work in a certain field, music or doing psychic work, but you need a day job, you can either know that the day job is of service to your passion, and or you can find work in what I call parallel or related fields, whether that's teaching or working in a psychic bookstore, for example. You know, you could get a job at a psychic bookstore and then do readings on Saturdays. Or if you are an inventor, for example, you can get a job in a related field that's supportive. And it is up to you to have boundaries to make sure you don't get sucked up into the day job and don't, you know, you still have to make time for your passion. Or you might discover that this related job is so fulfilling, you love it. You know, one of my friends is a music professor. He used to be a performer. He's an incredible singer. And I asked him recently if he ever wants to perform again. He said, you know, I actually don't. I love teaching music so much. I feel so fulfilled. And he never would have thought that before he started, but it turns out he loves it. It's wonderful.
Can you remember when you first started out then? Was it very difficult in the beginning?
As a psychic?
Or a psychic or a singer?
Well, both of those things started for me very young. I mean, I started taking music lessons when I was 5, but I've been singing as long as anyone can remember. Like, as soon as I could speak, I was probably singing before because I was making singing noises. But I also was psychic, and I would always know things I wasn't supposed to know.
Yes.
You know.
I know what you mean.
Like a lot of us. Yep, I bet you do. So in terms of making a living, you know, as a psychic, in high school, I started learning how to do tarot cards. And I would just do them sometimes just for friends and for parties. And then in college, you know, I was going to school to study music, but I also went to massage school to put myself through music school. And while I was in massage school, I met a woman who taught me how to do astrology. So I just sort of, I wasn't trying to do it full time at that time. I was just doing it, you know, like on weekends I'd go to this coffee shop and do astrology and tarot card readings. And then it just was always a part of my life, you know, like a few times a week. And it just slowly developed over time. I would say it took, you know, probably 10 years of me just doing it for fun and once in a while before I really was making a substantial income doing it. That maybe isn't realistic for everyone. However, I think it's a better way to go, because to do psychic work, there is a level of trust in self, more so trust in the channel that is required. Plus, I happen to be taking life coaching classes and healing work classes so that I could know how to direct the energy when it did come through me. As a performer, sort of a similar story. I sang in church every week. You know, my parents co-founded a church, and so I was singing in church every week. And then actually the church office was across the street from the New Age bookstore in my hometown, so I would bounce back and forth. And I started, you know, like a lot of kids, singing in contests in high school. And after massage school, I joined a band. And I just, you know, I have this thing where I have fear, but I ignore it. So I just started booking gigs. I booked gigs I was right for, and I booked gigs I wasn't right for, meaning I would call up clubs. I was in Minnesota. I would call up a club in Montana and say, I have a band. We want to play there. And they'd say, okay, July 15th. And I'd say, great. And then all of a sudden, we had to come up with other performances along the way to justify driving from Minnesota to Montana to sing in a club. And then I just sort of didn't let my fear dictate. And sometimes I was successful and sometimes I wasn't. You know, I broke even on that first tour. I once booked a gig in Florida where I got kicked off stage because it was the wrong kind of music. Boy, was that a blow. I learned a lot, though, let me tell you. So,
yes,
you know, I would advocate for those of you who want to try moving into doing professional, like making your passion a profession. My two pieces of advice are, number one, don't be unrealistic. Don't set yourself up for failure. Keep your day job. Just increase the time or see if you can shift things a little bit. You know, because I did massage for many years. I don't really anymore, but, you know, I did. And I just kept increasing my psychic work and my readings. And second of all, at the same time, you know, while you are being smart, do take those risks, right? So walk into the cafe around the corner and say, you know, I have been doing tarot card readings for about 5 years for friends. How would you feel about me putting up a sign that I'm going to be here Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.? I'll charge $1 a minute. People can sit down and pay me $1 a minute, whatever, you know. You have to take the risk and ask and put it out there. Don't let your fear win. Take the risk. The worst thing that can happen is the cafe says no, and you go to another cafe. That's basically the worst thing that can happen.
Of course it is. Can we just take another call? There's a 023 number. Let's see who this is. Hello.
Oh, hello, Bob. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Vanda.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Erin.
Hey, lady.
How are you?
Nice
hello,
to hear your voice.
Vanda.
Nice to hear from you again. And I tell you, whenever I hear your story, I say, that's the way I was. I was dancing, singing when I was about 3. I can remember.
You
know,
I bet you
all
were.
The little things. Yeah, all the little things.
You were
doing
it before you were born. You were dancing in your mother's womb. I know it.
I bet. Now, see, I could tell that you're a psychic, too. Yes.
Hey,
so
Vanda, where on the planet are you right now? I wondered where you were, like, geographically. What have you been doing?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Well, right now I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. And last week I was in California. The week before that I was in New York. And I'm in Baltimore, Maryland now. I may be getting into Chicago and maybe going back to California if I decide to stay a little longer or if Spirit decides to keep me a little longer because of something that's going on. The children's thing that Ricky Byers Beckwith has, he has an organization called Kumba. And I'm going to be working with that organization and working with children. And I just found out they're having a fundraiser to raise $2 million for a 3-block school June 9th. And so I'm like, oh, Spirit, do I stay here? And, you know, do I cancel that ticket and stay here a little longer? Are you going to provide for me to get over there? Or what's happening here? So I'm just being still and listening. And if so, I'll go. And if not, I'll mosey on back about the 28th to Germany.
Wow. What an amazing endeavor. And I also just want to highlight something I think everyone should hear, that you're just being still. You're not freaking out. You're just being still.
No. Yeah, I'm just being still. You know,
you're just waiting for the next step.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I just really wanted to congratulate you because I'm like, wow, that's really, I mean, it is so beautiful and inspirational that you don't need to have everything figured out right now and that you are allowing the universe to unfurl and deliver you what is best for you and therefore the world.
That's right. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, and it actually is, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I mean, for other people, I think it's such a masterful way to live, because then, you know, you could get all freaked out and need to know right now and run around and try to make a choice and book a ticket or not, and then all of a sudden you learn the opposite information, and then you lose money because you have to change your ticket, or you can't take advantage of an opportunity because you had to know right away, and therefore you actually end up like counteracting your own opportunity. So like psychically, I'm like, well, I know, as you know, that the universe is going to be providing you with all of the support financially, energetically you need to be a part of this fundraiser. And I don't remember exactly now, because I've just been swimming in the glory of your actions, if there was a wondering, but I'm like, but you know that you are supported completely 100% in your endeavors, and there are actually windfalls and secret surprises and secret gifts coming to you from this work you're doing.
Wow, that's what I also feel and know too. I'm glad you know that with me. That's wonderful. Thank you, Erin, because there's some things coming, and they're coming from everywhere. And you know, I'm loving being on a need to know basis only. You know, because needing to know everything gets pretty stressful, you know?
And also impossible.
Let me tell you, the biggest lessons was going to New York, going to California, and buying my food in Baltimore and traveling with it, and then getting there and finding out that they're, you know, organic whole food stores are 2 blocks away or 7 minutes away, and I'm like, oh my goodness, and I bought all this food and prepared all this stuff, you know, so that was some big lessons there for me. So I decided from now on, when I'm going to big places like New York or California, Chicago, whatever, carry no food. There are places that have the food. Spirit knows how you eat, you know, don't get into it and so much. And so that was some big lessons too. Plus, you know, it was just confusing. And so, you know, that was the last big one I had to have on really trying to make sure this and that and that and that and that and that and that, and that, you know. So I said, okay, let's, you know, like put my hands up, make me want to holler and throw up both my hands like Marvin Gaye say. So that's what that did.
Well, sometimes you do have that, like, I'm like throwing my arms, you guys can't see it obviously, but I'm like literally throwing my arms up in the air and going like, ah, so that you can release the energy so you get unstuck, not because you're stuck, Vonda, but like where the chi is stuck, and then all of a sudden, oh, the clearing, it's now so clear.
And that's the beauty of this whole new, you know, the shifting, and the more the shift, and the higher your vibration gets, the more I surrender. You know, I know it's the time to just surrender and surrender some more and surrender some more, and just get to the point where, you know, and they say, well, what you gonna do? I said, oh, well, I really don't know. Well, where you gonna live? And you could, oh, I don't know where I'm gonna live. You know, and it just feels good saying that. Even though people think you're crazy because you know they're in charge. I'm not in charge anymore. I've had enough. Finito.
Well, absolutely. Because when you are truly, I mean, that was my experience when I encountered Divine Mother in Rishikesh, India. She said, "I will provide, and you will know what to do because I will put it right in front of you." And it's true.
Yes, it's true.
And, you know, when I've gotten all up in arms and I've needed to know certain things, I've been guided very quickly back to surrender, and I have never wanted for food or shelter or electricity or my health. I mean, I've been so blessed. And sometimes it does, you know, the Divine Mother does say, yep, you need that job because that's going to give you this health insurance or whatever. And sometimes it didn't come that way, but it came through my faith and then responding to the messages.
Yes, and then responding. And then, you know, with each with each experience, because even with your experiences, you know, writing your stories, you know, doing the play, you know, doing your psychic phone stuff, you know, thing one thing led to the other, to the other, to the other, and you know,
yeah.
That's a good way to live, to just allow it to lead to the next thing and the next thing. And we're all getting, I believe, closer and closer to understanding that the new happy is called calm.
C-A-L-M. Yeah.
Thank you.
Ding, ding, ding. I love it.
Ding, ding,
yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you, Bob, for having Erin on today. Yay. I've been on the call, but I couldn't get in the chat room. So I said, but then I better call in because I've just been listening to the call. I said, I can't get in the chat room. So I said, I'll call in. So I'm glad
I did reboot the chat room again, but sometimes I don't know why people can't get into
it. Okay, yeah, I
but
can't
thank
get
you,
in.
Amanda, for coming on the show.
Thank
we
you.
We got to hear
well.
Your beautiful voice. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Y'all are great, and I appreciate both of you and love both of you. And keep it moving, babies.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vanda.
Thank
You're
you, Bob.
Welcome. And enjoy
Thank
your
you.
Holiday. More things to come around you yet.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. You got anything else you want to tell me, Bob?
There is a few surprises, and there's going to be one big surprise coming in the next few weeks.
Yay! I'm happy.
And it's going to do with
I'm happy already. I'm
it's
happy
going
already.
To do with something. I'm not going to tell you anymore because it'll spoil
Thank
it.
You. That's right. Don't spoil it. I'm on a need-to-know basis only.
I love it.
Me too. It's like a child. That's the way children are. You know, come on. Mommy, I don't need to know how you're going to pay the rent, Mom. I know you're just taking care of me. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine so. Anyway,
yeah,
we'll let you take care. Enjoy the rest of
Thank
your time
you.
Over there. And I think you'll be
Thank
quite
you.
A, I think you'll be staying for a little bit longer over there, yeah?
Yeah, I feel it. I feel it.
Yes.
Just going to allow gonna it.
Going to open more
I'm
doors for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
Thank
hear
you
all
both.
All about it. I'm sure we will. With these big
oh, yeah,
surprises
come on.
Coming your way.
Oh, yeah, I'll come on. I'll call and, hey, Bob! Guess what happened? Or stuff like that. Oh, thank you. I love you both.
I love you too. I'll just put you on hold.
Thanks.
Right, we've got down to about 2 minutes left. It's soon
what?
Gone.
No.
Yes.
How did that happen?
I
oh,
just don't
Bob.
Know.
We just
it's
got
gone
started.
So quickly. You know, we've only touched on a little bit of radical self-love, and then all of a sudden it the show's vanished, gone. That's spirit
wow.
for you. That spirit being with us and working with us to enjoying the show.
Yeah, I have so thoroughly enjoyed, apparently, the last hour. I would have guessed, I don't know, maybe half hour. Wow. Oh, Bob,
yes.
Thank you so much.
It's okay. Can you let the listeners know where they can get in touch with you?
Yes. I would love to see or talk or chat with any of you. I'm going to give you two websites. One is, of course, onetolisten.com. You know, actually, it's onetolisten.com/Erin Muir. That's E-R-I-N, M as in Mary, U as in umbrella, I as in Italy, R as in Rose. So you can find me there at onetolisten.com. And then for the artistic stuff, it's worldoferin.com.
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely
yeah.
beautiful. And Spirit just told me there's a big surprise coming your way soon as well.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, he is.
I was actually going to say, I have been told the whole hour. I think I started telling you, but now I guess we're at the end of the show, so I'll have to try and say it in 30 seconds. What a gift you are, Bob, and how special you are to the world, how beloved you are to the world, how important you are to the world. I know you know this, but sometimes it's good to hear back. And I just...
Thank you so much.
You're just such a wonderful channel of divine and human together, and you really, through your own sweetness, you remind me of like some of the sweet gurus I met in India. Your own sweetness, you allow other people this beautiful human experience that perhaps you yourself struggled to embrace, but I surely hope that you embrace how wonderful you are now.
Oh, thank you so much. I just like to be here for people whenever they need me.
Well,
no
you're a gift
where they
to
are
the
in
universe.
The world, they can always find me on Facebook.
Yeah,
I'm always here most nights to talk to anybody who's got any, it can be a small problem or a big problem. I will try and guide them and help them whichever way possible.
Yay!
And it's so, so nice to have you on the show tonight. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I look forward to you coming on again. But it won't be
Thank
2 years for definite. A lot could have happened in another 2 more years.
Yes, I imagine a lot will happen in the next 2 years.
There will. I'm going in hospital in 2 weeks' time for a knee operation, for a new knee.
Okay. A brand spanking new knee.
Yeah, for I'm going next Tuesday for a pre-op, and then that's the 17th, and on the 24th, I have my operation, 24th of this month on May. And that's a Tuesday, so I should be home Wednesday, so hopefully if I'm okay, I'll still do my show. But if not, I'll probably let Vanda do it. But I'll be in touch with her.
Well, I'll be saying a prayer for you on the 24th, if that's okay with you.
Yes, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. I'll be telling everybody anyway. Give them an update about myself as well. I'm quite a fit bloke anyway, so I always do a lot of walking. So I think that will help me to recover. I'm not saying quickly. I'm not going to rush myself this time. Take me time. You know, they're all right in the shop without me. I know they'll come and visit me and send my regards. A lot of the customers will be asking, where is he? Why isn't he in the shop? His smiling face. Anyway, you take care. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy
Thank
your
cool you.
Weekend. And
you
look
too.
Out for the big surprise coming your way.
I will. Thank you very much, my dear.
And I mean, it's going to be something really, Deb just said, astonishing. So something's going to come into your life what's going to be astounding. And you'll be flabbergasted about it. I'm not going to tell you anything else because it'll spoil it.
Okay.
But look out for that, probably in the next 2 months.
Ah, okay.
Lots of trouble with you I've got around you as well. Lots of here and there and everywhere. You could be flying all over the place. But it's going to be all good fun.
Okay, well, good. I'm clapping. Thank you.
thank you again so much. Love you lots. You take
love you
care,
too.
And I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.